Now, if you're feeling in need of a detox after this Christmas, the next item could well be of interest. Nosh Detox is a company producing freshly made, non-pasteurised juice diets, detox and nutritional plans across the Europe and US region. But it has quite a unique backstory as well. Former lawyer Geeta Sidhu-Robb set up the business after retraining as a food technician and nutritionist to find a way of treating her ill son. She focuses on allergy-free foods, nutrition, diet and organic produce, aiming to find an alternative to the drugs and steroids being suggested by his doctors. She's been telling her story to Share Radio's Melanie Ray.
I started when, because I was a corporate lawyer, and I was an oil and gas lawyer, and my son, my first child, was allergic to his vaccinations, which are generally given in this country at 1 month, 2 months, and 3 months. And he developed eczema, asthma, and anaphylactic shock reactions off the course of those. And this is a really long time ago. So in those days, people didn't believe you when you said vaccinations are bad for kids. And he spent the next sort of 260 days in hospital on and off. And so that was that. And that was very life-changing because I couldn't go to work. It broke up my marriage. I don't think nothing was ever the same after that, actually. So but there I didn't really have a choice. I did what I did. I reacted to the way that it came. And he ate sort of, the food regulations, labeling regulations weren't so great then. So he ate turkey, which had been pressed with cold milk.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is what used to happen. Mm. And he got a very bad asthmatic reaction, went into hospital, he got an anaphylactic reaction, and his heart stopped beating, and he went into cardiorespiratory arrest. And so they had to resuscitate him, and he ended up in a coma for a week in St. Mary's, Paddington. And I kind of just sat there on the floor because there wasn't anywhere for parents to be in those days. You weren't allowed to kind of stay over or anything. And waited to see what was going to happen. And when he woke up, I was like, you know what? We're never doing this again. I've had enough. I'm not coming back to a hospital. I'm not coming back to a doctor. No one knows how to help him. I must be able to do a better job, honestly. I must. And so I literally, when he was fine to go, I picked him up, left, and we've never been back to a doctor or to a hospital.
So you took it in hand. You cured him of the eczema and the asthma. How did you do that? Because that obviously relates to your later business.
It really is. So I spend, you know, I mean, who knew, right? Because, I mean, I'm a lawyer, so the only skill I had was being able to read huge amounts of really turgid, boring information and create a conclusion, because that was my skill set. And so I did that again and again. I'm a speed reader, actually, now. I'm an inveterate bookworm. And so I would just read stuff, and I started to connect dots, and I just researched. Every time somebody said something, I'd go and look it up. And my instinct guided me so much, because you'd say, I wonder if this, I wonder if that. And I would try things, and the lovely thing with kids is they react instantly. So if something was going to work, it worked with bells on that minute. And so I just learnt, and then I started his diet changing, and I was very lucky that he was allergic to so many things, because there were so many bad things he just couldn't eat anyway. Mm. So it gave me a very small window within which I could operate. And then I would learn something else that would work, and I'd learn how to do it. I'd learn something else that would work, and I'd learn how to do it. And then I worked out that he needed some physical work, and I learned how to do some yoga, because I thought that's going to, you know, I don't even know what to tell you. It was 10 years of
saving your son's life, basically.
Yes, yes, yeah.
How is he now?
He's great. He's 20. He's sort of mixed martial arts fighter. He's doing a degree in two degrees, actually, at in history and economics at university, joint degree. And he's kind of rocking.
So this led on to your business. So tell me about what you were doing prior to the business, and then how you actually, I mean, we've had an explanation as to how you got the idea for the business. But how did it come to that? What happened beforehand, and how did it come to that?
Well, this was the other life turning thing, because I'm an Indian from my background. I was brought up to kind of, you know, marry, actually. So get educated, but, you know, you marry, you have kids, and you do kind of traditional stuff. And so I had three young children by this stage. So my son was something like that. And I decided to leave my husband and my marriage. And I walked out with my three children, basically under the age of 7 or 8. And I didn't really know, I couldn't go back to work because I had these tiny children and I had nowhere to live and we had no financial support because my ex had basically said, if you leave, you'll be sorry kind of thing. My parents didn't want me to leave, so I had no one really to help. And I had a girlfriend gave me a room to stay in.
With your three children?
We stayed there for 6 months, bless her. So the kids slept on the bed and I had sofa cushions on the floor. And we did that for 6 months, which was really an unusual kind of, I look back now and I kind of think, well, okay, there must have been, I didn't know there was a better way. This is where I was. That's where we were. And I just was like, okay, I'm not going back. It was kind of like a way of forcing me to go back. If you have nothing to live off and nothing to do, you're going to come back. And I was like, I'm never going back. We're leaving. We're not going back. It's not healthy. We don't want to stay. And I was worried about going back to work in an office because I always thought I'd come back and my son would be dead because he was so ill still at that stage. And, you know, three little children have had their whole life torn apart. And I thought, there must be, what do I do? And that's when my girlfriend came to stay with me. Well, not stay with me because in my one room. She was in England for a business trip. And I was, she's like, oh, I can't see my feet and I'm really fat and I can't bear it. And I was like, oh, that's really easy. Just do this and this and it'll work. And she rang me up about 3 weeks later going, Geeta, Geeta, people will give you money for this. I've lost two dress sizes. And I was like, okay.
What did you tell her just out of interest?
That's what everybody says. Actually, I told her to do three things. I said, well, you can batch them really, two things. One was to give up all dairy and all gluten, and two was to, before she ate every meal, that she ate a piece of fruit and she ate a raw green salad. Mm-hmm. And if you do those two things, you will inevitably come down to your very base healthy rate of weight that you're meant to be at. It's inevitable. It's, you know, there's not one person in the world I haven't done it to who it doesn't work with, and I have like over 15,000 clients.
So you were in this room and you solved your son's problem, you solved your friend's problem, and you thought, hey, there's a business here.
Yeah, well, I would do anything to make money at this stage, right? So I was doing odd jobs and I was doing lots of different stuff that people were sending me so that I could make money, because of course I was still a lawyer, I just didn't want to go into the office. So I did a lot of odd jobs here and there, and then I thought, you know what, I'm actually going to set this up. And it didn't really exist. There wasn't anything that existed that I had in mind. And I remembered in New York, they had sort of these places where people would deliver you your food for the day. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if my son could eat something without thinking and just be sent his food? And I thought, well, he can't be the only one, can he? So I created the sort of diet delivery thing that's so common now, where you have three meals plus two snacks, and started delivering it to people.
So you were actually delivering, or you set up a delivery service, I suppose?
We did, yeah. I found this poor man who came to deliver pizza one day. I was like, and you went to do some work for me. And he went, okay, because there's this mad woman he's giving food through the door to. And I co-opted him. And I was like, right, we open on the 6th of January. And I think it was some stage in December at this stage. Yeah, because her board meetings used to be in November in London, so she must have come in November. So in December, yeah. So and the 6th of January, I said, we're starting on the 6th of January. And he was like, okay. Detox season didn't exist. You know, it was always New Year, New You, but none of this existed at all. So I got a chef, actually, on the 4th of January. I found a credit card that had £2,000 on it, an HSBC overdraft, actually, not a credit card. And I set up this business.
So you did it on £2,000, but something like this sounds to me, obviously I'm no expert, but it sounds to me like something where you'd need quite a lot of specialist knowledge, because obviously if you're sort of working for people with allergies like your son's or similar to your son's, they're all different, they all need different things. You need some real expert advice in this and a hefty bit of insurance, I imagine.
So the thing is, I was the expert. So I had been, in the past 10 years, I'd written a couple of books on it. I had been counseling other parents because the doctors would send me people who didn't kind of know how to live with the allergies and how to eat and how to do. There just wasn't anybody out there doing it. So I was one of the very, very few people there was. So I had written stuff about it. I had been in the mail. I'd done lots. I had talked about this. I kind of missed that bit out. I've done 10 years of going, here's how to live with allergies. I had worked for several schools as an expert on how to make their cafeterias more allergy aware. I'd written things on how to work with kids having anaphylaxis. So I'd done a lot of work on this. So really, I was the expert in terms of that. I knew nothing about really food in those terms. That was the problem I had, which is why I needed a chef. I didn't know anything about logistics, which is kind of why I thought this driver would have some idea. And Yeah, I started with the mothers at school and people I knew. And I knew that there were children and people that had problems and that their parents had issues and stuff. And that's how I started. I had insurance. I had 5 million, I think, when I started. But that's, you know, everything is kind of, if you break things down, they're much easier. So my insurance was probably about 80, 90 pounds a month. And so I paid that. And then I hired a kitchen for 3 hours every day because that's what I needed. So I
without doing the whole thing, without sort of buying the kitchen and buying all the kit, you hired it in.
Yeah. And I was like, why would you do that? Right? I have no idea if this is going to work. So I literally spent the whole of that year going, I don't know if this is going to work. And one of my friends went, you've just turned over £80,000. I think it's probably a good starting point to imagine that the thing's going to work. Get a grip. You know, because I kept going, it may not work. And she kept going, look. I was like, all right then.
That's a womanly thing though, isn't it? Women do that. Men don't do it so much, do they? That worrying side of things. Well, they certainly don't show it like we do.
Yeah. They just have a different level of self-belief. When they perform, they're like, I'm performing great, it's working. And we don't do that well. And so then I was still taking odd jobs on the side as a lawyer, negotiator, all those things. And then the next year, January 2008, I just gave everything up and said, right, we're doing this. And I started working in OSH.
Brilliant. So that was when? What date was that when you set it up?
I did the beta test for in 2007.
Right.
And then I did this in 2008. Right. This is my job.
So it's been, obviously it's going to, you know, it's just been growing and growing and it's now a tremendous success. Where are you going now? I mean, what are your plans? Are you franchising or what are you doing?
Yes, we did a pop-up in Texas for a year. Which we were like, you know, let's see if it works in another country and how it would work. That worked really, really well. And it was profitable, but we learned a lot about how we don't know anything about a different country and how it's a different language, even if it's English, you know. And so we've taken a step back and went, let's do this more like a system. So that is the first 3 months of next year are about creating the system of franchising, OSH, because we get like one or two queries every single week, you know, and it's like we'd really need to pay attention, but we haven't. It was just I hadn't found somebody I'd wanted to work with that I trusted. So I found a fantastic guy now, and he's helping us to systemize that. We opened in Harvey Nichols in Knightsbridge in this year. And so it's more about expanding and having more kind of NOSH bars where people come in and get, because we do vitamin drips and we do diagnostic testing and the food and the juices. And we have a lot of, one of the things that I wanted to do with the business is I don't like this concept where wellness sort of doesn't have its own space and you're only feasible and credible when you're a doctor. There's a huge amount you can do before you get sick. And so I like that space, if that makes sense. And I want to really, really expand and occupy that space a great deal more. So we do a really interesting things like health curating. You have a lot of celebrities that come in or people that live in two or three different countries. And we say, look, you know, this doctor here says this and that says this and that says this. And you don't know kind of what you're doing and you don't have time. So we have people like that and they come in and we it's almost like health coaching where we say, look, here's what you're going to do. Here's what your plan for the next 6 months is. Here's when you are going to be feeling bad. Here's when you're traveling too much. Here's when you're doing this. And here's what you need to stay healthy. And I love that part. I love that you can help people to stay strong and powerful and they never, ever have to get sick. Because I just don't believe in getting sick. I think it's overrated. Actually, we've asked ourselves a lot this year because there's a new juice bar every day and there's a new juice delivery company every day. And what we've done is our approach, and we grew 24% last year. So I'm so proud of that, honestly, because there's just a place where I worried that there were about the saturation and how we were going to grow or anything was going to happen. The thing we do is we approach you as a person and we go, here's your lifestyle, here's who you are, and what do we do with you from where you are today to make your life better and your health better? Whereas when somebody has a pro forma, eat these five supplements, and you pay 100 quid, how many supplements do you have at home that you've bought that you've not eaten?
Well, we've all got some, I'm sure, even if it's just vitamin C or D or something.
Yes, and we buy loads of them, and it's not the right approach. Vitamins double bind. You want to have two of them together, and which are the right ones to make you feel better? So everybody who works for me, we've invested heavily in training them that they understand the entire approach of your life. And so when you walk in, we look at where you are today, and we work out how to make it the easiest for you to get to where you want to go, which is to stay at optimum health. I love people who cannot afford to get sick. because people like that will pay attention, they'll respond, and you can help them to get there so, so quickly. The body is a wonderful thing. So everybody, when you walk in the door, that's where we come from, that we're passionate about making you feel better, look better, sound better, and from today, because there are so many things that you can do, that little tweaks that will get you feeling better immediately. And so many of my clients are really, really busy people that have no time at all. So we're either holding their hand and saying, right, here's how you get it better, here's your solution, or we create the solution, make it, cook it, blend it, and then deliver it to them as well. So you just don't have to think about it. We're doing the thinking for you. And we stay really on top of whatever the newest health developments are so that we can give you the best advice.
Now, on Share, we like to do interviews with people like yourself, successful people who have done it, who have made it, and really get advice, pick your brains to find out. What about funding? I mean, in this, you know, especially now, Brexit just around the corner, what kind of impact has that had on your business? And what advice could you give to, a two-part question, really, but what advice could you give to somebody who's thinking about setting up a business or funding? Is crowdfunding the future? I mean, what would you say?
Huh. So two different, several questions in there. One, Brexit really hurt us. It hurt a lot of our ready-to-go line because the margins were much less, and the pound dropping 19% didn't really help us at all. So we rearranged a lot of our business in the last 6 months to minimise the effect of it. And in the long run, it's done us a favour because we're so much stronger as we are today. In terms of funding, this whole thing about when you go out and get funded and set up a business and you've got enough money to last for 2 years and all that, I have a problem with that. I think you don't set up a business until somebody buys what you're offering. And I don't think you set up a company until you have a team to help you to create that business. So anything you're going to do, if you've got clients who will give you money for it, that's the starting of a business, not whether you can go out and get funding for it. Having said that, when you get to the stage that you are trying to grow, women particularly are really, really bad at going out and getting funding to help them to grow their businesses faster. Men are so much better at this. And then you also have investor bias, a lot of it, against females when you go in. They just prefer to lend money to men than they do to women. We got around it in a couple of ways. So I have about 10-15% of my business is owned by investors. A couple of them are direct people that came to me and said, can we invest in you? And I had wanted a particular project, and so I took that money. I've created the valuation, and then they invested. But last year, what we did was, because we wanted to go into Harvey Nichols, what we did was we set up our own crowdfunding platform, in fact, because I'm a bit of a geek. And so we did crowdfunding amongst my clients. You know, I have 30,000 clients. And I thought, why not go to the people who are our fans and ask them for money to help us to grow? We didn't raise very much money. We didn't need very much money. But that's what we did. So firstly, sell stuff. Don't go raise money to start a business. Sell stuff. I literally started this business with £2,000, not with more. Along the way, yes, I've got an investment, but it's been very project-based because I want to own as much of my business as I possibly can.
And so startup, what other startup advice would you give? I mean, people, they've had Christmas, they're now looking ahead to the new year, they might be thinking about setting up a business, maybe in a very small sort of, in a kitchen table sort of a way. But what other startup advice could you give to people? You know, some top tips.
Definitely manage your costs, because it's very, I spent a long time thinking, how do I make more money? And in fact, if I had paid a better idea on my costs from the beginning, my business would have been in a safer place. So look at your costs so much more, but believe in yourself, because one of the things about being a business owner is it's your own personal growth that helps with the growth of the business. Usually when my business isn't growing, I'm the person in the way. It's often not about the business. It's about me not willing to see something, not willing to change something, not willing to look at something. And don't hire consultants, literally. I know everybody says this, and I've hired so many consultants on the way, but you know your business better than anyone else does. And so do slowly, do steadily, and then but take risks, because so much of the time, there is just, it really pays off. The other thing I don't think, I set up like three businesses in the last 10 years, 8 years. I almost think that if somebody else has a business that they've set up that I could go into, then I wouldn't have to get up with all the horrible beginning of a business. It just sucks to set up a business. A new business is painful and it's hard. And hang in there. because it will work if you believe in it enough, because you'll keep tweaking.
You might want to. You're something else.
Yeah, exactly. You'll keep tweaking it. It's so much course correction. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's always, you're never going to end up where you think you're going to end up, and it's always going to be about course correction. But I've always looked at the opportunity and thought, where do I want to go next? And I've trusted myself that where I want to go next is a good place to go, because it's coming off what my clients need, not so much what they want, but this is what they're going to go next, and that's where I'm qualifying and going towards, like our coaching, you know, with that approach to wellness didn't really exist. And we started that, and I'd already trained people up for a year, and that's why we can take advantage of that opportunity now.
We mentioned earlier about how women approaches to business are slightly different to men, and perhaps with slightly less confidence. But what's your view? I mean, I assume that you've mixed with quite a lot of women in business and women that, like yourself, have set up successful companies. Is there a difference between the way women run business and men, or is it really pretty much the same?
It's very different. Honestly, it's very different. I'd love to say it's pretty much the same and all that, and I don't want to. Men are just, they have such a different approach to it that we do, that I wish there was more approach that was so much female-friendly, that understood where women came from as business owners. Because, you know, women are so good at setting up businesses. A lot of them give up along the way, though, because they're finding it hard to kind of get heard in what they need. We just never, men are so much better at believing in themselves. A, we don't have that level of confidence. B, we don't niche down as much as men do, because estrogen is what we're, so, you know, is an adaptogenic. We tend to look at the overall picture, and that's great, but then get someone in to help you who'll be really detail-oriented. Some of the best advice I ever got was to hire somebody that drove me nuts, that I didn't like, that had a totally different approach, because that lady does my numbers in a way that's so much better than I was ever going to do them.
And she'll tell you the truth as well.
Exactly. Well, I mean, numbers are numbers. You're always going to tell you the truth if you actually look at them and they, you trust them. But I just wasn't my skill set. And it was, I'm a lawyer, I can't add up. So she, I'm great with words. She's great with numbers.
Geeta Sidhu, Rob, on how she got the success behind her Nosh detox story up and running. Talking there to Share Radio's Melanie Ray.